It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The Hobbit and The Lord of the Rings are among the most popular book and movie series ever made, and Wisconsin played a big role in mapping the setting of the books, the world of Middle-earth.
Karen Wynn Fonstad was a cartographer in Oshkosh. She spent years completely mapping J.R.R. Tolkien's world. She eventually published 172 hand-drawn maps in her 1981 Atlas of Middle-earth.
She passed away in 2005 at the age of 59. Her son, Mark, came back to Wisconsin to preserve his mother's work.
We went to see Fonstad's original work in person at UW-Madison's Map Library, where Mark was working on scanning it all. Her maps took up every table in the room and more.
This table is mostly Tolkien. Later ones are like the Shire, and this is
Mordor.
Second Age, yeah, Mordor, minus Tirith. Like, if you saw movies that should be all recognizable. This is from The Hobbit. This is the Lonely Mountain.
Is there any of these that is your favorite? I mean, it's hard to say, but...
I don't know. You know, the thing is, the one that's in the absolute worst condition of all is the base map.
Mm-hmm.
That's the original pencil base. That's the one that I remember lying on at age, you know, six or whatever. So probably that one. But that's not the most showy, interesting to look at map. That's just has, like, sentimental value.
After the visit, I talked with Mark and with Karen's husband, Todd, both geographers themselves, about Karen's legacy as a cartographer of fictional worlds. Mark, you and I were just over at the UW Map Library looking at some of the books she worked from. Can you talk about, before we get to the maps themselves, some of the artifacts you have gathered there that she took notes in and notes on?
Yeah, she reread the Tolkien's Lord of the Rings books many, many times. And she would take notes. She would underline phrases and sentences and paragraphs that had specific geographic information. Because I think what was in her head for quite a while was the idea of making an enormous map of Lord of the Rings. It was going to be, in order to have everything on it that people would be interested in, such a map would have to be enormous, like something that would fill up an entire wall. Things got even more complicated because Tolkien's son, Christopher, later published the book The Silmarillion in the 70s, and that was also one of those artifacts. I think my dad actually found it at the store and bought it for her.
Yes.
And she went through the whole game again, reread and read that, and realized very quickly that it would be impossible to make one big map that had everything. That's when the idea of the Atlas came about.
Now, Mark, we were just looking at these maps. This is a challenge, right? You're taking text descriptions of a world and some maps drawn by J.R.R. Tolkien's son, Christopher, but translating that print information into a map. Can you talk about how she took it from the page to the maps we'll see and people can see online?
So the first step in any large atlas project is building something called a base map. This is an enormous map that has just very simple things on it, like where are the coastlines or the rivers or the mountains. And in the case of the Atlas of Middle-earth, that base map, she was lucky because some of that information already existed in maps published in the books. Tolkien had died a couple of years earlier, so she wasn't able to work with him directly. But because she had some of these basic maps, she had a place to start. And from that, she started building this huge base map on the floor of the kitchen using kitchen tiles as scale because it was so big. And from that, she would then add information that she had read in the books, like the river went this way or the forest was there or not there. And once you complete a base map, then it becomes a lot easier to take smaller areas and make more and more detailed maps. So you kind of go through these books line by line and add information.
And Todd, it's not like she went to the Houghton Mifflin map room and it was working. This is a home project. Could you talk about what this looked like at home when Middle Earth basically invaded your household?
Well, she was very handy. She had a father who operated a shop sheet metal. I had a brother that was very good at diagramming. She learned how to use tools, how to diagram. Of course, everything was by hand. So she actually built a light table with her tools. I think Mark's got it in his house right now. But it was on a drafting table, and she put the light table under that and put it up in our office on the second floor. And so it eventually migrated from the kitchen floor to upstairs, where she could work till 4 a.m.
And Mark, you grew up surrounded by Middle Earth and other fantasy worlds. So did I. My folks bought a copy of the Atlas. They were huge Lord of the Rings fans, as was I in the day. Todd, can you talk about the reception, how people received this new look at Middle Earth and the, I don't know, I think there is a fandom for her work.
I think she would be utterly surprised, to say the least, to see how this has ballooned. She never did this for money or for fame. It was her passion. Frankly, the royalties didn't come in much until the end of her life. So she didn't do it for that. And it's amazing now it's being published in at least a dozen other countries.
We're talking about Wisconsin cartographer Karen Wynn Fonstad. She's famous for her Atlas of Middle Earth, mapping the works of J.R.R. Tolkien and other fantasy maps. Fonstad passed away 20 years ago this month. We're joined by her husband, Todd Fonstad, and Mark Fonstad, her son, both geographers themselves. Mark, I want to get into the project you're working on now. You've gathered a bunch of the material that your dad had on hand. You're visiting from Oregon in Madison right now, and you're scanning these. Talk about this project.
For many years, both my father and I have thought that it would be really useful and good to find a place to have a long-term archive of my mother's work. And we haven't looked into that in detail yet, but one of the first steps in doing that is to scan and index the maps so that you can show people what would exist, what sorts of things would be in such an archive. And it's a little bit of an overwhelming process because, first of all, there's hundreds of maps. Secondly, the maps are built in such a way as they have many layers to them in a way that you would have layers of a project you're working on in Photoshop, but these are actual physical layers. So any individual map takes multiple scans. And I've been working all week on a large machine to scan some of my mother's maps, and I've barely scratched the surface this week.
When we were just over at the map library, a young cartographer stumbled into our conversation and realized that this was Karen Wynn Fonstad's work strewn all over about the library on tables, and I think he just about passed out. He was very excited.
So are you a fan?
I'm literally trying to make a 21st century follow-up on her map on Numenor from Lord of the Rings.
You want to take a look?
Is this happening right now? I am friends with like 6 Tolkien mega fans online across the world who would actually, not literally kill, but go to really extreme lengths just to see this, what I blundered into.
She would have been a rock star if she went to, I think, science fiction conventions, fantasy role-playing game conventions. That wasn't her scene, though.
No, in fact, I don't know if that she did really hardly any of that until very late in her life. It wasn't until Peter Jackson's Lord of the Rings movies that she kind of got out of her skin and went to some of those conventions, and I think she was quite taken aback by the public interest in her and her work at the time, because when she was working on these projects, mostly in the 1980s, it was, she said, I could have been on a desert island. It was just her and her maps and her light table and the drafting pins, and that was basically it.
And she was in the zone. She would lose complete track of time. She was always on the go. one of her favorite sayings was, "Kant never did anything." And she told me many, many times, "I've got this neat idea." And she was always thinking, not only atlases, but anything she did, you know, very much with a passion. She was not a patient person.
She was a constantly creative person. She, if she wasn't mapping, she was trying to think of something else creative to do, like, "I'm going to build shelves in my bedroom today," or something like that. I think she had a kind of innate need.
So I totally get the fascination with fantasy maps. I always have loved them in fiction, games, whatever. And I can't put my finger on why. What is it about fantasy maps that fascinated Karen and so many other people?
That's a hard question. I think it's the same kind of question about why would people read fantasy books anyway? And because they're not tied directly to the real world, you can put yourself into it a lot more. And people obviously do that. And it works even better if that fantasy world has rules that you can understand, that, you know, this world is like a little bit like the world you are interested in. And so people spend a lot of time trying to think about these alternate worlds as real.
One of her rules was that she could write about fantasy worlds, but those worlds always had to be based on our reality. You can't go too far out in your fantasies. So there had to be a reflection of the real world here.
That reminds me, speaking of the real world, one of the maps you showed me was the fantasy landmark of Oshkosh, Wisconsin.
Yeah. My mother was never a full-time cartographer. She would do projects when they came around. She would do a D&D module now or a book there, but she would also be working as a physical therapist or a lecturer at the university for teaching cartography. And so, for example, she would do projects that to other people might seem more mundane, like, "Let's update the map of Oshkosh." You know, but she was a cartographer. That's what you do.
For years, she was a member of the Oshkosh Planning Commission. She was very civic-minded. She spent a term on the Common Council. She was very active in church. She was always on the go. And it wasn't until, I would say, the last 5 or 6 months of her life that, you know, I never saw her. She didn't slow down until the last few months of her life.
Now, Todd, our producer, Beatrice, is very curious about the dedication to the 1991 edition of the Atlas of Middle-earth to you, the family. It reads, "To Todd, Mark, and Christy, still Pylos, who have shared my 10 years of trials and triumphs from Middle-earth." What does that mean, still Pylos, Todd?
Oh, that's a funny one, because I think she felt that she was slighting the family in some ways by all this work, and she wasn't baking enough pies or bread or whatever.
If you look in the original version of the Atlas of Middle-earth, I can't remember exactly what it says, but instead of "still Pylos," it says something "to my Pylos."
Okay, that was
still, yes.
So that's
yes.
A revision. So yeah. It's kind of her joke.
How funny.
Yeah.
And Mark, as we wrap up, I mean, very influential map making your mom did, a resource for the film adaptation. I can see when I look at role-playing game maps, the influence of your mom. Can you talk a little bit about her legacy in the world of fantasy map making?
So the world of not only fantasy map making for professional purposes, like you would see in Peter Jackson's movies, but also just a kind of fan fiction level fantasy cartography is a real huge niche these days. There are lots and lots of people making fantasy cartography. And I look back into the sort of history of fantasy cartography, which existed long before Tolkien even, but there's nothing like it is today. Today, there's far more of it. And part of that is the technology exists to make it easier to do. But even with that technology, people spend a lot of time looking at my mother's work as a kind of benchmark. Like, this is how fantasy maps ought to look in some respect. And so if you go ask people who do as a hobby fantasy cartography, my mother's work is often the very first thing that comes up, which is kind of, I think she would be very happy about that.
Absolutely.
And we'll leave it there. Mark, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
And Todd, thanks a lot for being with us.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure.
That was Mark and Todd Fonstad, geographers and family of the late Wisconsin cartographer Karen Wynn Fonstad of Oshkosh, known for her Atlas of Middle Earth. You can see rare photos of Karen's original work, some of it never published, online at WPR.org.